welcome to Scotch Friday Podcast. My name is Carmel Sacrin, and I'm your host. Today, we explore the impact of COVID-19 and its impact on one small local business, one of my favorites, Saving Time Catering and Pastry at 450 Appleby Line, Burlington. We often call small businesses as a family business, because every family member, regardless of age, has a hand in it. And all owners of small businesses know of the long hours, the sacrifices, and the commitment required to be your own boss. The community knows and relies on you, and you know and rely on the community. That's just how it is. My special guests today are Phil and Alex Kinsman, owners of Saving Time Catering and Pastoria. Welcome.
Carmel, thank you so much.
So I just, for my listening audience, I want them to know that you two are in your home and I'm in my office and we're doing this virtually.
Yeah.
And Alex, I see that you have baby Alistair with you in your arms.
Yes.
born this past June 1st, 2020.
Exactly. Yep.
In the height of the pandemic.
Yeah, it went very smoothly.
Yeah, one day I walk in and there you are, pregnant, and the next day I see you have a baby with you.
Yeah.
It was just a wonderful to see that you are doing well. But let's get down to this. You're a husband and wife team and you own this business, correct?
That's right, yeah.
And it's a remarkable store. I mean, it's not just a bakery, it's also a restaurant. There's two components to the business.
Yeah.
And can you just describe the business for our listening audience, please?
Absolutely. So, I'll tell you, it's an incredible story because it has evolved in a way that we never, ever foresaw. But it's one of the exciting things about small business is sometimes it feels like you're just along for the ride and the business can take on a life of its own. And it's often about, just keeping going and keeping up with the changes and allowing the business to take shape in front of you. And in many ways, that's what happened with this. We started catering in 2012 and we started just in a little tiny basement kitchen. Literally, it sounds silly, but one hot plate and a toaster oven. And that's how we got our start doing little prepared meals for one couple. I remember the Youngs in Ancaster. And, we did prepare meals for them every week. And, over time, the catering business grew and we started to take on larger parties and we started to take on larger events. And eventually, I remember it like it was yesterday, we were sitting in our little townhouse living room and Alex said, you know what we really need right now, what's like kind of would be so amazing to have is a little space to meet with clients. Because we were booking these large parties at that time. And, working out of then a commercial kitchen in like the scariest part of Hamilton. And we were frustrated though, because, it's just a kitchen. You can't really invite people in there. And so it's just kind of weird, sitting with a client in Starbucks being like, hey, let me cater your birthday party for 100 people. And so we thought, man, it would be so great to have a little space of our own, just a tiny little place where we could have people in, sit, have a coffee and a pastry with them and chat about their events. And that was the vision that started it. And while we were having this discussion, just for fun, we popped open Kijiji and searched restaurant for sale. And the first link on that page, we had signed the lease on 3 weeks later. It was wild. It was unbelievable. And it started out, a little pastry shop and we were just doing pastries. And then we started to do a little bit of food, some sandwiches here or there. And then people said, well, this is great. You got to let us sit in here and eat our. And so we started to let people sit in and then we add some more tables and then we add some more tables and then. A couple of years later, we blew through the wall to our neighbor and took over an extra 1,500 square feet and added more tables. And now, up until March, the business is, it's been phenomenal. We have this amazing brunch and lunch crowd. They come on in. Our seats are packed out all morning and all lunchtime. And then we have the big dining area. And then we also have our pastry line. So when you come in, you can kind of take a walk down our beautiful display cases and see all the amazing handmade, handcrafted French pastries there and grab those and a coffee and, either sit in or to go or whatever you like. Since March, we've had to close the dining room, of course, but We've been super fortunate. People are eating their feelings right now. We are the pastry section is bustling as ever, and we're having a blast. So we've been making some expansions on that side. For now, on the food side, we're sticking with the takeout and delivery for the time being. So,
but you know, you mentioned pastry many times, and I think it's Alex that's the pastry chef.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, you want to talk about how you got started?
Well, I don't know. I have a little bit of culinary school background, just about 8 months. But Phil and I just have this love and passion for French food. And definitely when it comes to pastry, I wouldn't put one of us above the other. I think we're both fairly at the same level, certainly now. We got in there and we you know, found our mentors in books and online and whatnot. And, you know, drew from the greats and really just taught ourselves, and here we are making what people call the best croissants around and even better than Paris and all the beautiful stuff. So yeah.
Well, my daughter will attest that you have the best chocolate croissants ever. Actually, my two daughters. I take some up to Barry when I go to my daughter, so just so you know. Now I know that often when I've walked in, Phil, you're in the back, and I've often seen Alex in the front looking over the books, the receipts. She's kind of handling that side of it, and you're more in the back, all covered in flour.
Yeah, it's been honestly, that's a transition that's happened a lot in the last couple of months, where Alex has been really focused on the kind of organizational and management side, and I've been on the benches for a lot more time. And one of the big things obviously that prompted that was Alistair coming along, right? You know, it's we did the first time around. I mean, Alex is incredible. And the first time around when we had Timothy, 5 days later, she was back with Tim in the little wrap, you know, on the stomach and cooking the line.
Right? He's your 5-year-old.
Yeah, he's our 5-year-old. That's right, Timothy. That's right.
And I've seen him in the shop too.
Oh yeah, he's a character around here. He's been here since he was just born, you know, and which was amazing for him and so cool, and like a such a cool flavor about how the business evolved, because I think in that time half the women who came here only came here so they could cuddle the baby, you know. It's like go to Saving Time and see the baby.
But that's the reality of a family business, is you're there with your kids.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's honestly, if I'm super candid, we've had a bunch of people really criticize us very aggressively for that. But I think it's one of the most beautiful things, you know, when a family is together. I mean, our kids have gotten to see incredibly hard work modeled for them. They've gotten to see what happens when you go out and chase your dreams and work really hard to make something special happen. They've gotten to grow up in the community and get to be a part of this community. You know, we're walking through, Tim is more recognizable in this community than I am. We're walking through the grocery store the other day and somebody goes, "Hey, it's Tim from Saving Time." I'm like, "What about me?" You know?
I mean, being your own business owner is really tough. It's not, I mean, a lot of people look at your business and they say, "Oh, it's a beautiful business." And they, you know, somebody might, from the outside looking in, might think how glamorous, how wonderful. But I mean, being the son of a local grocer and being raised in a family business myself, I know of the struggles and the time and the commitment. Why do you do it? Why do you put such long hours and such effort into when you could go do something different and not have to worry about paying everybody else's salary?
I think that's a very difficult question, but also a dirt simple one. I mean, you know, we could talk for an hour about why we do it, but the reality is because it's how we're wired. You know, we're passionate about what we're doing. And okay, so I always said I wasn't going to do this because when I was growing up, every single day, my dad always said dot dot dot, and now I find myself all the time saying my dad always said, but. My dad always said that if you do something you're passionate about, you'll never work a day in your life. And honestly, it's hard and it's tough. And yeah, it's long hours. And all of the things that you said are objectively true, but it feels so good. It feels great to aspire to do something challenging and to achieve it in a great way. I think that a lot of times when people talk about, you know, wanting to be like, wanting to be happy, you know, we sometimes conflate that idea with wanting to be comfortable. And, you know, it would be a lot more comfortable most days at 5 p.m. after I put in an 8-hour day and I'm just getting started. You know, it would be a lot more comfortable to go and hang out on the couch for the evening. But, you know, I'm so much happier actually committing, and we're so much happier applying ourselves to try and achieve something wonderful.
All right. Let's talk about how this pandemic impacted your business. I mean, people are talking about how it's impacted a lot of small businesses. A lot of small businesses, even big businesses, have been impacted. Mm-hmm. But and a lot of businesses have changed their model of operation, online orders and everything else. But how has it impacted you? Can you tell me about your personal journey, you and Alex, in having to close the business down, and what that meant to you, and how that impacted yourselves and your staff?
Yeah, so we actually didn't close. Right from the first day of the pandemic, things obviously looked way, way different. I guess it was mid-March when it really like became clear that this was coming. We kept the doors open the whole time. We've made some adjustments in our operating hours, but we kept coming. And honestly, it has definitely been a lesson in the necessity of even us, you know, what you would call maybe a little more mature small business. We've been open for 5 years now. The lesson in the importance of continued adaptability. Things changed immediately. We had a couple of weeks that everybody was scared to go out, and we saw very few people. But, you know, we went back to the drawing board right away. We said, what are the things that people want right now? What are the things that we can be really successful at right now? And we basically landed on, look, people are not going to be sitting and dining in and having brunch and lunch. You know, we developed delivery and takeout options for those, but we really focused on our efforts on saying people are going to want pastries right now. They're going to want to bring some joy into their lives and some happiness, and sometimes eat their feelings, you know? And people are going to want to, have sustenance. Like your people are at home together right now. They're going to want your like meat and potatoes family meals. So we developed a menu of offerings for people to come in, pick up, take home, and pop in their oven and have dinner taken care of, like kind of older school French stuff, really good, like hearty meals. And we focused on growing and expanding our pastry production. And we've had a lot of success with those two things.
So the restaurant side of it you just mentioned actually had to shut down.
Correct. The dine-in, that's right, has shut down.
But you were considered an essential service because of the food component.
That's correct. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And your breads, you didn't mention your breads and.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but how did that impact your staff? I mean, obviously, I'm assuming, tell me, how did that impact your need for staff?
You know, we've been really grateful. One of the things that I love about this business is that, and I love about small business, I'm a big believer in small business. I think that small business brings so much to the economy, and I love the image of like a very diverse economy made up of many, many small businesses instead of, you know, large kind of multi-thousand employee firms dominating the employment sector. One of the things we've always loved to do here is create jobs and create work, and thankfully, because of the adjustments that we made in our processes and the adjustments that we made in our offerings, we kept everybody working who wanted to work. You know, we had a couple people who said, I'm not comfortable going out. We said, no problem. We're here for you when you want to come back. But everybody who was able and willing to work, we were able to keep them on and keep them all busy, you know? And that's been just a wonderful, amazing thing. And our team has been so fantastic at, kind of adjusting themselves and taking things as they come and changing some of their roles and learning how to do new things. And for them, I think it's been a really positive experience.
So the roller coaster, would you say you're back to where you were before the impact in March?
Yeah, without honestly getting into any details, honestly, these days, some weeks, we're doing better than we were doing this time last year. And certainly the business looks a lot different, and the kind of composition of all those numbers has changed a lot. But pretty quickly things started to turn around, and I would say, like, these days, honestly, in terms of how the business is doing, I'm so much happier than this time last year. You know?
Alex.
Yes.
I'd really like you to jump in here. I mean, there was a huge change in your life, and of course for Phil with the birth of Alistair. Can you tell me how's it going? How did you handle all this pressure and challenge? I mean, your husband is talking so emphatically and passionately and energetically, but boy, here you are, a new mom again. Tell me.
Yeah, no, it's honestly been really fantastic. I'm happy that this was, kind of all happened the second time around with Alistair. I went through the whole experience with Timothy first and dealt with all that during more normal time. So it was not too much of a shock, but I enjoy pregnancy and everything went very smoothly with, the birth and the hospital and everything. But it's been really fantastic because we've been able to grow our team. And they really, really stepped up and, like Phil said, and we kept everybody on and they did really well. So I've actually been really fortunate to be able to be at home for a bit these past couple months, which wasn't something I was able to do the first time around. So I've been at home with the kids, which has been kind of weird, but really, really, really nice. And yeah, we're so fortunate to have such a wonderful team to allow me to do that and get the business to kind of where it is now, 5 years later, that I don't have to be so involved. And it's been, honestly, I have no complaints whatsoever. It's been wonderful. I'm very relaxed these days.
We have Timothy hiding behind you. Timothy.
You want to say hi?
Five-year-old.
Do you want to jump in? Okay, no, you're hiding. All right. Do you want to say hi? This is your big chance. Yeah. No?
Well, if he wants to say hello to everyone, he can say hello.
Come on, come in and say hi. All right, well, or don't.
Do you help mom and dad in the bakery? Timothy, do you help mom and dad in the restaurant?
Yeah.
He's whispering to you.
His name is Carmel, if you'd like to say hi to him. No?
Okay, now to our audience, he's dropped the puppet down into behind the blackness. Okay, he's gone. All right. Well, anyhow, listen, thank you too for sharing your story. I know that you are going to resonate with a lot of small business owners. I know that you've had a success where other small businesses haven't been able to transition or ride out the pandemic the way the two of you have very successfully. Anyhow, thank you very much. It's people like you that make our community strong and give us hope and inspiration. And I really want to thank both of you, Alex and yourself, Phil, for sharing your personal journey and sharing the story of how you've overcome and achieved the unexpected. This speaks about how small businesses are so vital to our community and they have a lot to teach us and keep us connected. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Carmel. This was a wonderful time together. Really, really appreciated that.
Well, thank you. Thank you to Phil, Alex, and all our listening audience. Please remember to have your say and go to our comment section on the podcast website, www.scotchfridays.ca. That's plural. My name is Carmel Sacrin, and you have been listening to a conversation with Phil and Alex Kinsman, owners of Saving Time Bakery in Burlington. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.